Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. I believe it's the 20th day of October 2005. So another, you know what, we started Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben about January 5th, so that puts us somewhere into the over 9 months now that we've been on the air. Glad we've been able to bring you quality broadcasting in the Greenville and now the Spartanburg area. And hopefully soon, as soon as we get enough volunteer work, we'll have even more coverage up in the upstate and even down towards Columbia eventually, we hope. But at any rate, we know some of you are making your way out to work, so we want to check the weather real quick for you.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 61 degrees. Downtown, it's 60 degrees. Anderson, 58. Clemson, 61. Today, patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, mostly sunny. New record highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by Charles de Gaulle. I have come to the conclusion that politics are too serious a matter to be left to the politicians.
Well, that's an interesting quote. I don't know. They are a serious matter only because the politicians are there. If there weren't politicians there, it probably wouldn't be so bad, frankly. It would seem to me, at any rate. It makes a big difference when they are around because they just tend to trash people. That is a problem. Well, we've had not a whole lot of news headlines this morning that need to be discussed. We can just mention, of course, that Wilma, another powerful hurricane, still it's dangerous. It's only a Category 4 now. People are still thinking it's going to head towards Florida and then possibly into New England. Not real clear what's actually going to happen with it. But at any rate, that storm is still sweeping right through Central America and dousing them with lots of rain. And started out being one of the most powerful storms out there. Now it's, in recorded history. And now it's down to a Category 4, Category 4 still sounds pretty bad. We had the Houston Astros, who beat our beloved local Braves here in the World Series. That's right, so Roger Clemens will probably be pitching Game 1 of the World Series against the Chicago White Sox. Anybody want to guess hazard a guess as who's going to win that series? I'm thinking it's going to be Houston. I think the wild card team is going to come through like Boston did last year. But, no, I've heard other people really believe the White Sox are just going to clean up, just pound them. And it may be too true. White Sox are sort of an unusual team this year, to my mind, just because do they really have anybody that's famous? Who do the White Sox have that's famous? Anybody? They're all new upstarts, which speaks well for their team for the future, doesn't it? If that's the case, them and the Braves, both of them, have a lot of rookies or people that are less than well known. And other than that, the Texas court issuing a warrant for delay. I was talking to a friend last night. It seems like there's a lot going on with Karl Rove and some others that are going to maybe be revealing of the criminal activity of George Bush that could make him look like or appear and be shown to be one of the greatest criminal presidents in history. That would be interesting if that ever comes out that way. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on. Specifically, George W. Bush knew that there was no problem in Iraq and lied to the American people. He lied in order to achieve his nefarious ends. May well be the case. Of course, that's just an accusation at this point. We'll have to wait and see. I wonder what all the neocons led by local celebrities like Tony Beam and so forth are going to actually say when that day comes. They've been just staunch defenders of the president in general on other radio shows. I don't know how they can be after things the revelations that are coming out about him. And we also had yesterday, of course, an exciting show talking about the Second Amendment, talking about my comments at the Christian Exodus meeting. Also received a call, personal call yesterday from the radio show host I'd mentioned yesterday, Paul Dean, where the accusation was made against the Tyranny Response Unit, that's me, that my theology was satanic, that said that we should have the right to self-defense and be able to defend ourselves against nefarious government agents or any other thug, for that matter, elected or otherwise, who would come and violate our rights, take away our guns, and so forth. Now, his guest said that, and Paul wanted to let me know that he thought that was very much over the top, what that guy had said. And although it appeared like he agreed on the show, apparently he did not. It just sort of caught him off guard. And sounds like it might have been a simple mistake. It could have been something else, but at any rate, we'll take that, take him at his word. As good Christians, we want to always be loving and think of the other brother without keeping a record of wrong, or and always thinking the best, putting the shining the best light on any situation, knowing that we're all fallible human beings and make mistakes. On the other hand, this Bill Hedgepath guy that said it, whoever that is, needs to recant, needs to change his view, because it's just bizarre that he would come up with this idea, as we talked about yesterday. But I appreciated Paul Dean calling and discussing that whole matter with us, with me here, and straightening that out as much as possible. So anyway, that's sort of yesterday, and that's sort of the end of the headlines. We had one other blame passing, put the monkey on someone else's back headline. Chertoff said he relied on FEMA during Katrina. Homeland Security Michael Chertoff defended his actions before and after Hurricane Katrina, telling lawmakers Wednesday that he relied on Federal Emergency Management Agency experts with decades of experience in hurricane response. "I'm not a hurricane expert," Chertoff said several times in responding to criticisms from members. Well, what is he an expert in? That's a good question, isn't it? Anyway, that's old Chertoff passing the buck and doing a good job of it. Well, I got an email from Christian libertarians. Brian Morton liked to listen to read what Brian Morton sends over. This was kind of a weird article. I read most of it, and I just like the title of it here. "To the Court, Jesus Was a Libertarian." This is from the Trinity Tripod. That's Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut. Lisa San Pasquale says that Jesus was a libertarian. And she goes on and talks about in the Supreme Court, look, well, we don't mind anybody being a Christian on the court. What we don't want is someone imposing Christian standards of morality and subverting the Constitution. The thing that Jesus would do if he were on the court is uphold the Constitution. That's what she basically says. She's taking a pot shot at Marvin Olasky. Now, this is sort of an interesting topic for Christian worldview, because we have to say this: there is no higher law than God's law. So the Constitution, Jesus is not bound by the Constitution. If he truly were on the Supreme Court, what would he do? Well, he would do what is righteous and good and just all the time, period. And hopefully he would smite the other eight justices when they went afoul. But it's really a little bit ridiculous to think about Christ being in the state, which is an arm of the kingdom of Satan as far as I'm concerned. But if he were, what would he do? Well, in my mind, or what should he do, I should say, I don't think that he can be bound by the Constitution. I do think that Jesus was a libertarian, I'll have to admit that, because I myself, being libertarian, would tend to want to put the Lord there with me. But realizing that I'm a fallible human being, don't want to make too much of a broadcast of that, just because it's a little over the top itself to start talking about the Lord that way, in any way, lining up with any political party, whatever it might be. But since the article brought it up, I thought it was sort of interesting food for thought. I just don't see how what if Jesus knew exactly what was right to do, and he would, because he's God, omnipotent, omniscient, and some case comes before him, and he decides, the Constitution was wrong here. He's got to do the right thing. I mean, it's not like we're talking about men here. We're talking about Jesus Christ. So if Jesus were on the court, we'd have to let him have free reign, do whatever he wants, it seemed to me. And when I say let him, I'm trying not to be too irreverent. I mean, he's the God, the creator of all things, and if he wants to smash us all like bugs, he can. So there's nothing like we can resist him. I'm putting him in a man's place here, so to speak. So I hope you appreciate that. So anyway, this article just raised that kind of goofy thought, and it's sort of, and the more I ponder it here, sort of irrelevant to even consider, because human courts and constitutions and all that are all part and parcel of time and space of the realm of men, and really what, in order to keep men in check from harming one another and keep a check and balance against the state itself, who might be nefariously trying to harm us. Okay, well, let's skip on to something else here. Here's an article from Gray Echo's Gun Control Bill Pulled Today. There's still time to place your calls. Bad news, the House was scheduled to bring up Senate Bill 397 for a vote today, but now the latest information from the House of Representatives indicates the bill has been postponed to tomorrow. The Gun Owners of America remains the only group at national level that's fighting for a clean bill to protect gun makers. So this is a bill to protect gun makers, and this one has been pulled today, and gun owners wanted to let us know that they need to use the pre-written letter they sent out to send that to the congressman, and we wanted to pass that along. Yes, we are gun rights supporters of gun rights. We're not ashamed of that, but some people are, apparently, but we're certainly not. Okay, we have, what else do we have? Columbia Christians for Life. I met this fellow, Steve, Pastor Steve, good man, fighting for the truth. Columbia Christians for Life, down in Columbia, obviously, has a prayer request. He says this, Christians, pray God's hurricane helps save America and destroys Florida's abortion centers. Now, that's an interesting headline, don't you think? Columbia Christians for Life is asking us to pray that God's hurricane helps save America and destroys the abortion flood centers. Christians ask God to have mercy on America, mercy on Florida, and mercy on some of the nearly 300 unborn children butchered by abortionists in Florida daily. 103,000 reported murdered by surgical abortion alone in Florida in the year 2000. Florida is the number 3 baby murder state in America behind California and New York, and 42% of Florida's statewide total of 73 abortion centers, that is, 32 child murder by abortion centers, are located in the southeastern tip of the state, from about Florida, Fort Lauderdale to Miami. So, at any rate, he's saying that what we might do is pray, let's think about this, pray that God's hurricane helps save America and destroys the Florida abortion centers. Now, we can think about this for just a minute. First of all, we have to agree with him that this is God's hurricane. God controls all things. He creates all things. He controls all things. We have to believe that. But do we want to pray that it attacks, you know, that it causes damage in Florida? I don't think we can do that. I don't think we're here hoping for catastrophe to come. But I think he's right in saying we could pray, Lord, if you have ordained that this hurricane hit Florida, a powerful storm that Wilma is, we pray that you would do some good with it and destroy the abortion clinics. Just the abortion clinics. Send a tornado out of the hurricane or just cause the winds from the hurricanes itself to pass right over those areas of from Fort Lauderdale to Miami and destroy the abortion clinics. I think that's a fair enough prayer. So I appreciate Steve bringing up the idea to us. Makes some sense to me. He says here, a little further down in this article, it says, Fort Lauderdale is home to Coral Ridge Ministries, one of the largest Christian ministries in America, led by D. James Kennedy. Yet Fort Lauderdale itself has 6 abortuaries. Has anyone heard of the battle raging in Fort Lauderdale defense of perhaps the hundreds and thousands of little human beings being torn to shreds each year in the same community as the huge Christian organization? I haven't. Have you? Church, what's wrong with this picture? Repent, just as God told you to do in 2 Chronicles 2:14, if my people, which are called by my name. Well, this is an error. You know, I mean, this verse, and Steve and I have talked about this at the conference a bit, this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14, does not refer to the people of the United States. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, turn, and all that stuff. The my people there is referring to the nation of Israel. It's not referring to just any group of people that might be in the political confines of, say, America. It's not correct. It's an incorrect interpretation. It's a faulty hermeneutic. And unfortunately, Steve is fallen prey to that. But if you separate the precious from the vile, as Jeremiah said, you'll be as my mouth. And that's what we see here we need to do. So I like the idea of praying that a hurricane will destroy the abortion centers in Florida. Dr. Stephen Yates has written the Worldviews book, Christian Theism versus Modern Materialism. If you'd like a copy of the book, it's $18.99 if you are a Constitution Party or Libertarian Party member. Indicate that when you send in your order, plus $2.50 shipping and handling. If you're not a member of that party but still beleaguered in the Republican or Democrat parties, you have to pay $20.99. If you want a copy of the book, send your orders to the Worldviews Project, and that's who you make your check out to. Care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216 in Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Have a question or comment for the show? Please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177. Or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I want to make a quick announcement here, an important announcement for some of our friends at the Libertarian Party. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. in Greenville, the second Thursday of the month, at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. In Spartanburg, the business meeting is on the third Tuesday of the month, that was just a couple days ago, at 6:30 p.m. at the West Side branch of the Spartanburg County Library. To talk politics, join them for the Libertarian Underground in Greenville. It's at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. In Spartanburg, the Liberty of Plenty meeting is the first Tuesday of the month, and that's held at 6:30 p.m. at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. We'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Well, we had a couple other stories that were sent to us, and there's another one sent to us by ChristianLibertarians.org. I was happy to hear that so many other Christians today are calling themselves, by the way, Christian Libertarians. Rucius John Rushdoony, the Theonomist, paradoxically to some of us, called himself a Christian Libertarian. Recently, Paul Dean, when I talked to him on the phone yesterday, had also mentioned that he likes to use that term to apply to himself now, Christian Libertarian. I hope that's okay for me to announce. I don't know, maybe that was just something Paul mentioned to me. But either way, I'm sure he's not ashamed of the title. But around here, Libertarians have such a bad name because of the few quacks in it, a lot of quacks in it, and it gives the party sort of a bad name. And a lot of people in the Constitution Party, for instance, like being a little purer. And frankly, I do like hanging around with people in the Constitution Party a lot more and a lot more often than I would with people in the Libertarian Party generally, just because of issues like abortion or the faith, Christian faith. But be that as it may, I have to say this about constitutionalists. I haven't met quite such a divisive kind of group where they're really hard to get together and be cohesive on much of anything. That's sad. At least maybe, I hope that's just in South Carolina. I hope it's better elsewhere. But it seems like you get a lot of very principled people in the Constitution Party all joining together, and they are certainly not going to budge on any issue. And it's very hard for them to stay unified, it seems, because they have a platform that's very, very rigid. You can't even be a party member unless you hold to the platform. It seems like just bears itself out in a lot of difficulties in terms of a political party. That's just an opinion, and maybe I'm mistaken. Be glad to hear and talk with you about the Constitution Party versus something like the Libertarian Party if you're interested in calling. We'll have an article a little later on by another great new young Christian libertarian named Vox Day. I got to find that article in the box. It looked like it was a good one. Before I get to that, we can skip over to Jacob Hornberger. He says that Southwest Airlines did not censor. And this is an article in the Future of Freedom Foundation commentaries. A recent discussion by Southwest Airlines to throw two passengers, a husband and wife, throw two passengers, a husband and wife, off a flight holds a valuable lesson about private property rights, ownership, and the Bill of Rights. The reason the couple was grounded was that one of them had a T-shirt containing a photo of President Bush, Vice President Cheney, and Secretary of State Rice, along with an obscene phrase that resembled the title of the popular movie Meet the Fockers. Okay, so you can think about that. You can imagine that as you will. Then, while some would undoubtedly cry censorship, they would be wrong. There was no censorship that took place here. There was also no violation of the First Amendment. That's because when you're on private property, you have no right to do what you want. You see, you are protected from doing whatever you want to do by the Constitution on your own property or in so-called public areas, but it doesn't apply on private property. And so, if we're going to uphold and be true to the Constitution, if someone tells you they don't want you to behave a certain way, like preach the gospel on private property, then you have to respect that. You have to be respectful. Now, especially when it comes down to preaching the gospel. You may say to yourself, look, better for me to obey God than men, and I'm going to go ahead and violate this person's private property rights. But that's, you got to be careful before you do that, because by doing so, you're going to be sinning in another way by violating private property rights. So would Christ want us to do such a thing? I doubt it. And I doubt it would even come to that, because you'd probably just, there's not much point in preaching in that storm. You'd probably just go and shake the dust off your feet. So, at any rate, we want to be able to make sure that people who come on our property, don't we, don't start preaching their garbage to us or making a scene or doing something lewd on our property. And it seems to me that if we live in a constitutional republic, we'd have to give them, those other kind of people, the right to protect their property the same way we'd like to protect ours. Only makes sense. So I think Hornberger's right about this one. Makes a good point. All right, here is another story that came out from World Net Daily. Why Christians Must Keep and Bear Arms, Shooting Back, the Right and Duty of Self-Defense, Free. Why Christians Must Keep and Bear Arms. This is from Whistleblower Magazine on WorldNet Daily. What would you do if armed terrorists broke into your church and started attacking your friends in the middle of the worship service? The man who fought back with his concealed handgun during such a terrorist attack on his church wrote an incredible book about the experience and why Christians have what he calls both the right and the sacred duty to be armed. That book, one of the most sensational titles WorldNet Daily has ever offered, Shooting Back, the Right of Duty of Self-Defense, will be given away until 5 p.m. Eastern Thursday. Okay, he says the biblical case for being armed was made by Carl Van Wyk, who makes his biblical Christian case for individuals arming themselves with guns, and does so more persuasively than perhaps any other book. He says grenades were exploding in flashes of light, pews shattered under the blasts, sending splinters flying through the air. An automatic assault rifle was being fired as fast as ripping the pews, and whatever was in its trajectory to pieces. We were being attacked. Instinctively, I knelt down behind the bench in front of me and pulled out my .38 special snub-nosed revolver, which I always carried with me. I would have felt undressed without it. Many people could not understand why I would carry a firearm into a church service, but I argued this was a particularly dangerous time in South Africa. Like many many heroes, Carl Van Wyk was an ordinary Christian man until the day he was called upon to be extraordinary. The date was July 25, 1993, and at the event would become later known as the St. James Massacre, Carl was catapulted to the media's attention by shooting back at the terrorists who attacked the innocent congregation. Using his personal and high-profile story as a launchpad, Carl Van Wyk goes on to deal with the burning questions that plague all conscience-driven people. Should we carry arms? When is it appropriate to defend ourselves and our families? What can we do when our freedom to carry arms is legislated away from us? And he suggests that we read Van Wyk's answers and you understand why it's one of WorldNet Daily's best sellers. Guns, anyway, this sounds like a good controversial book, doesn't it? It doesn't say what he did. Did he actually get the terrorists they were coming in and shooting? I don't think so. It doesn't mention it at any rate. Maybe he did, though. And it wouldn't have been great if he was able to get a good shot off at these guys and kill one of them. I mean, why wouldn't we as Christians want to be able to defend ourselves? All right, because we're in church, we have to be pious and so peaceful that we just lay up like sheep and be slaughtered by people that come and attack us? Why? What makes a difference if you're in your own home or in a church building? What makes a difference if the guy is sent from the government as a federal agent and starts blowing you away versus if he's just a common thug down the street? Folks, there's no logical difference. It doesn't matter what office a person has. He's not sanctified. Being the minister of God in Romans 13 does not mean that he somehow has the right to violate God's commands. That's not what the word diakonos there means. It's not what it's implying to us, that all of a sudden because he's a servant of God, serving God in some capacity, that he becomes godly and whatever he says must be obeyed. This is a divine right fallacy, the falsehood that is taught by so many people today. And it's unfortunate, but that is such the case. And we have to support, folks, the ability to defend ourselves. Otherwise, we might as well all be anarchists right now. There's no reason to even have a government. Why vote for it? Whatever comes along, whoever thug reigns in power, fine. Let him do what he wants to do to us. And we'll just, until then, we'll live in anarchy. Because the best thing we can be is anarchists. All we're going to have is a virulent state that will attack us otherwise. Folks, this is not what God's Word teaches. I've covered this significantly in my own writings and would hope that you'll turn to some of the audio files that have been made of those writings or read the writings themselves at policyofliberty.net or go to libertarianchristians.org and do the online public policy course or tyrannyresponse.net and check out the audio files there about the Christian theology of public policy. We're going to be coming out with a new book on this, by the way, probably early next year, so stay tuned for The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. It will be a great book, and one you'll have to, it'll be a must-read for thinking Christians. And so stay tuned as we prepare that and hopefully have that ready by March, perhaps, if not earlier, next year. All right, here's one other story. The U.S. practice of starving out Iraqi civilians is inhumane, says the United Nations. Bradley Clapper says, the United States-led coalition alleged practice of cutting off food and water to force Iraqi civilians to flee before attacks on insurgent strongholds is a flagrant violation of international law, a United Nations advocate said yesterday. The action is inhumane and causes innocent people to suffer. Well, when has George Bush ever been concerned that innocent people might suffer? I mean, come on. Give me a break, folks. Oh, he doesn't really mean to kill all those thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of Iraqis. That's just it's just an unfortunate accident of war that they're in the way. What a bunch of garbage. George Bush could go and assassinate, could have gone and assassinated Saddam and anybody else he wanted to over there and taken them out with the CIA or used a tactical strike. Instead, he chose a method of warfare that's gone on for months and months and months, and almost 2,000 American soldiers are dead, thousands more wounded. In addition to that, tens of thousands of Iraqis, mostly innocent civilians, have been murdered through this war of aggression. It's just a horrible thing in general. And that's a good way to stop the show before we go to the top of the hour's break here. Stay tuned for the Bill of Rights. Think about freedom instead of what you get from George Bush's war. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 20th day of October 2005. Glad you joined us today. Have a great show in store. Have had one so far, and will have continue to have one in the future here, or this next hour. We hope to hear from you. Our phone lines are open. Remember, 244-9904 is the main line. 244-9904, 244-8177. And 2016955 are the backup lines. Now, if you're still making your way out the door to work here, we want to make sure you are, have your heads up on the weather, so we'll go ahead and go to that now.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, it's 60 degrees. Downtown, also 60 degrees. Anderson, 58. Clemson, 61. Today, patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny. Near record highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by Napoleon. In politics, stupidity is not a handicap.
Okay, here's something else out of the YumaSun.com. Well, I don't know where Brian Morton finds this stuff, but every once in a while I get a slew of very interesting articles from Brian Morton. He runs the website called LibertarianChristians.org. Hope you'll visit that site. They also host the public policy course, online course that I've written, and do the audio files as well as the text files there. Anyway, the YumaSun has this journalist called Howard Blitz, and he has written a column that says List helps contrast libertarianism with other beliefs. I thought this was sort of interesting to read. Many ask what libertarianism is and how it differs from conservatism and liberalism. The following is an accidental list, or an additional list, defining libertarianism. The reader can decide the differences. Life is fundamental. Without it, nothing else matters. Ethics and morality have nothing to do with majorities and minorities. Theft is theft, whether committed by one individual or 100 or even by 1 billion individuals, even if committed under some other name such as taxation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and private property are important. Important individual liberty and the efficiency and morality of the free market outstrips any command economy in terms of providing wealth to the masses. Individuals have a right to mutually contract with each other so long as neither of the parties utilizes force on the other. Individuals deny the golden rule at their peril, and if one does harm to another, sooner or later reciprocal harm will be done in return. Individuals do not have to sacrifice their personal values to another. Independent thinking is the hallmark of a truly free society. There are perhaps greater lessons to be learned from failure than from success. Not permitting individuals to fail can and does have harmful effects for all. The power of human reason exists for that purpose. Commonly held views seen as proper and just today may be seen as by future generations as wrong and counterproductive. Just as today's generation views the political correctness of slavery of the past, ideas have consequences, therefore ideas have to be debated and judged, not individuals. Natural laws, such as gravity, exist in the physical sciences. So, too, do natural laws exist in human relations, because individuals are hardly any different today than they were thousands of years ago. The only difference is in the existence of technology. Celebrity status gives no one additional credibility of moral standing. Neither do academic degrees, although academic degrees do indicate a level of perseverance and focused attention resulting in a very useful knowledge. Credibility and moral standing, however, are earned through interactions of individuals. The purchasing and selling of goods and services in a market free from encumbrances elicits voluntary interactions whereby both the buyer and the seller benefit, whether it is the buying and the selling of land, labor, or capital. Both parties must benefit, otherwise neither would trade. Free markets as opposed to government-controlled markets promote peace. And we're into promoting peace here, by the way, and that is how you promote it. As George Washington stated long ago, government is not reason, is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Interesting stuff. Good article. Good points. And I, of course, being that is my slant on things or disposition to understand the world, I agree with what he has to say here. Well, the whole issue of fundamental rights is so important. We put up a petition at tyrannyresponse.net, tyrannyresponse.com, that you can access through the Related Media tab. We'd encourage people to go down on that tab to the Related Media area down at the bottom, and you'll find there the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. And you scroll down there, you go down to the link, which is, I don't know, maybe the 10th one from the bottom. Is that far? No, it's about the 5th one from the bottom. South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. It takes about 30 seconds to fill in your email address and to vote or sign the petition and tell people that you're concerned to protect your private property and your fundamental rights, that you think it's important to have your fundamental rights protected. It's not just a passive thing. So what the guy was just talking about in this article can be preserved with your help. Go to the Related Media tab on tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, fill in the petition there, and tell people you want to save your private property. We also have on that same page one of our great friends here, the Times Examiner. I'll quick give a plug for them as well. And remember, the Times Examiner is the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists like you would get at the Spartanburg Herald Journal or in the Greenville News, the Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, and then others like Marvin Olasky, of course, our great friend Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and others. The Times Examiner supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, and gun ownership. Now, I know there's some neocons in there that don't support some of those things as we would like, but, hey, either skip over them. Like one guy says, I just don't read Tony Beam. Yeah, I keep complaining about some of the things Tony Beam writes, and they said, we got sick of him long ago. We just avoid it. We don't read it. Well, if you choose not to read Tony or anyone else, that's fine. Don't read them. But still get the Times Examiner, because there's so much more in there that is worth reading. It's a great newspaper. It's only $25 a year. That's a weekly newspaper delivered to your door for $25 if you live in South Carolina for the whole year. $25. That's, just under 50 cents a week. $27 out of state. If you want us to get signed up for a subscription, simply call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. You can also place an ad in the Times Examiner. We encourage you to do so. If you want to place an ad, it's beneficial to the paper, obviously beneficial for your business, call David, ask for him by name, 859-6817. That's 864, area code 859-6817. Okay, let's go back to a couple of news stories here. Here's a Compulsory Evolution by Fred Reed. Compulsory Evolutionism by Fred Reed. And there's a little surprise ending here. Fred Reed says he read what would be despair if I cared enough that the courts, this time in Pennsylvania, are again getting their knickers in a knot over revolution. On that, oh help, there must be another planet somewhere on which to hide. Oprah, Rush Limbaugh, singing commercials, delayed flights, and evolution anyway. Why, oh why, are the curricula, the schools, the business of are the business of the courts? If Pennsylvania wants to mention creationism or to require 3 years of French for graduation, it seems mightily to me that these are the business of the parents in Pennsylvania. Skipping down a little further, he says, the Church of Evolution savages them in obscure journals and denies them tenure in publication. As a heretic, I believe that I should prefer the latter, but intolerance is the same. I note that compulsory evolutionists are fellow travelers in the regnant cultural Marxism, although I don't think that they are aware of it. Yes, many of them are aware of it. Marxism and Darwinism go hand in hand, also with a lot of other things like abortion, rights theory, environmentalism, a few other isms out there. Skipping down further, he says, Christianity and capitalism are all major intellectual currents and therefore ought to be explained to the young. That sounds good. One plausible explanation for this rigid evolutionary monotheism ought to be, though I think an incorrect one, is a fear that the children might come to believe creationism. Oh, we don't want people to become creationists. That would be terrible. Anyway, at the end, he falls apart here. He says, and this is what disturbs me about them. I do not object to the content of evolutionism. Some or all part of it might be correct. I would like to know, he says. A more fascinating question has not readily come to mind, but dispassionate discussion of them is not possible any more than it is with Gloria Steinem or Herbert Marcuse or Cornel West, whoever those people are. I know who Gloria Steinem is. I don't know the others. And for exactly the same reason, they are the same people. How sad. He says, well, the problem is he doesn't even find any objection to the content of evolutionism. You see, he got it right. Fred Reed got it right all the way down to this point. All of a sudden, he's talking about, he doesn't really object to what's in the content of evolutionism. Folks, when we look at the theory of evolution, the origin of the species of Darwin, the whole theories about origins of the universe espoused, including the Big Bang, largely discredited Big Bang theory and others, we see the alternative vision to the Christian worldview. Remember, the Christian worldview says that God created the universe, and we believe in six literal days. I know there was no sun at the time we started doing it, but God isn't bound by having to have the sun there in order to know exactly how long a day is. In six literal days, he created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Evolutionism says that God may or may not be there. It's unimportant. What happened was there was a mass of matter that just happened to be there, just was there, billions and billions of years ago, just was there, and it exploded. And by exploding, it turned into order, which really is crazy to think if you think about it. And after that happened, eventually, life evolved on the earth by there being mixtures of light rays and chemicals and certain things, and life just emerged and spontaneously came up. And then after it began to come up, it began to mutate and change. So over time, you had, without God and being involved generally, you just had the formation of human beings and the formation of all other life forms. So it's a godless perspective of the world. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's antithetical to the Christian worldview. And, well, when Fred Reed says, I don't object to the content of evolutionism, he's showing himself to not have a Christian worldview. Now, I don't know if he ever claimed to have a Christian worldview, but we certainly should have a Christian worldview. Why? Because, hey, it's the God of the universe. It's the God who created us, who saved us. It's the God who we ought to be worshiping, the God we ought to serve, because he has the power of death and hell in his hand. And indeed, he has the power to cast both body and soul into hell if we don't trust him and serve him. What's the point in life, folks, if there is no God? Is life that hopeless? That all we have to trust in is states and humanity and what man can come up with? How tragic indeed life would be if there were no God, a God of love and care, who is willing to save to the uttermost any who believe in him and come and call on him by faith and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we proclaim the Christian worldview. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're also not ashamed to engage our culture with the truth. That's what we need to do, engage our culture. And you're doing that right here now by listening to Christian Worldview. And we're going to go, it looks like, wow, we've overstepped our bounds on a break, haven't we? Okay, we're going to go take a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings?
Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us again today. And we're here discussing some of the interesting news stories of the day as they reflect and relate to the Christian worldview. Chertoff has declared, expel all illegals. Homeland Security chief aims to eliminate catch and release. That's what he says. Chertoff is saying, anyone who enters the United States illegally should be expelled without exception. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff told the Senate hearing today, our goal at Department of Homeland Security is to completely eliminate and catch and release enforcement problem and return every single illegal entrant, no exceptions, he said. Chertoff said that U.S. authorities are immediately returning thousands of Mexicans entering the country illegally, but other parts of the system have nearly collapsed under the weight of numbers. The problem is especially severe for non-Mexicans apprehended at the southwest border, he said. Interesting stuff. Let's see, we've got a little further in his speech. The poll showed a huge majority, 81%, believe local and state police should help federal authorities enforce laws against illegal immigration. Only 14% disagreed. Voters also were asked, do you support or oppose the Bush administration's proposal to give millions of illegal aliens guest worker status and the opportunity to become citizens? Only 35% gave their support, and 56% said no. The biggest opponents of illegal immigration are Democrats, African Americans, women, and people with household incomes below $75,000. When it came to the status of the nation's borders, respondents were asked, do you agree or disagree that the federal government should deploy troops on the Mexican border as a temporary measure to control illegal immigration? A clear majority, 53%, agree, while 40% disagree. Of course, the Constitution Party is also aligned with those other folks in being against illegal immigration strongly, as many others who are liberty-minded. I think there's some false reasoning for doing so. I listened to Congressman Tancredo speak, and I thought his argument was full of it was a lot of hot air, full of a lot of holes. I know other people really lauded him and thought he did a great job, and I guess we just have to agree to disagree without being disagreeable, folks, because it just doesn't work that way. You've got, the economics of it all is simply this. If you've got a poor person with no education and no ability to support his family, he's making 40 cents a day, and he's offered a job in the United States by somebody for $8 an hour, he is going to take the risk of crossing the border and making his life better or better for his family. That's what he's going to do. He may not stay a long time, but he's, as a Mexican, is going to engage in a mutually beneficial exchange. And I don't believe, I think it really goes way over the top to say that just so many Americans are suffering and losing their jobs and in unemployment and so forth because Mexicans come over here on a temporary basis. I also don't have a problem with Mexicans coming over here in general if they want to assimilate, learn the language, and become American citizens. I don't care if they get in here illegally or not. If they're here illegally at first and then they become American citizens, I don't have that big a problem with that. I don't think this is a massive problem. The whole other issue, which they're quite correct with, and that they are conflating, I think, inappropriately, is the whole business of other people who come over the Mexican border from Eastern Europe or other countries where terrorism is a problem, or there are some sorts of problems with self-defense, protecting our borders. Yes, in those cases, then I have a problem with these people coming in. They're just paying to get in and do some evil act here in the United States. That, to me, is a totally separate issue. Lumping all illegal immigration together, though, makes no sense. It becomes an unresolvable problem when you try to lump all of these issues together. In fact, it may make it even worse. There's got to be a different way and mechanism for dealing with the mutually beneficial gains from trade that exists between low-wage Mexican workers and the many, many people who want to hire them here versus all those other people that are coming over in droves to attack America or do some nefarious thing here. And I agree the latter is a problem. The former, I don't see as a problem. And if it is a problem, you're trying to stop it the wrong way. You don't go after the poor Mexican dolt who's just trying to, you know, feed himself. Like the proverbs say, men do not despise a thief because he steals to feed his hungry soul. Likewise, we don't despise a man, do we, as Americans, for coming over here because he's hungry and wants to work? He's not coming over here to get welfare benefits. He wants to work. Now, I know there are other people that do have other intentions to come over here and use welfare state benefits. That is a problem, but it's not their fault again. The problem is the employers here that are willing to hire them and the people here that are offering welfare state benefits. Let's not misunderstand where the problem is and lies and attack the symptom rather than the cause. So that's what I say about that side. Terrorism is a totally different issue. Self-defense is a totally different issue. When you've got people coming over to harm us, yeah, right, we need to make sure we defend our borders against those kinds of people all the time. So anyway, that's my take on it. Tancredo's speech was just very lame. Sounded bigoted, sounded foolish in a lot of sense, and I just don't buy it. Now, maybe somebody wants to call and disagree with me. That's fine. Come on and give us what you think. Call up and let us know, and we'll take it from there. I've already published that I think Christians should have free rein if they're fleeing persecution. Anybody fleeing persecution should be able to enter without a bureaucrat's permission. That's in a recent article in the Times Examiner on Part 5 on Nations and Nationalism. And I think we have a duty to Christians as fellow believers to treat them with special care, especially when they're running away from tyrannical governments that are trying to kill them, tyrannical states, excuse me, or governments. All right, what else have we got here? WorldNet Daily. This is a Black Stranglehold, The Myth of Scarcity and the Politics of Oil by Jerome Corsi and Craig Smith, a new book, Black Gold Stranglehold. Interesting. Well, here's what they say. In Black Gold Stranglehold. Forget about everything you think about oil. Black Gold Stranglehold explodes common myths. If you believe oil is a fossil fuel, be prepared to have your thoughts turned upside down. If you believe the U.S. has no choice but to rely on foreign oil until we ultimately run out of the precious resource, prepared to be challenged by new views that have the opportunity to give birth to a new generation of oil and economics. And so in this new release, Corsi and Smith explore and debunk some of the popular myths surrounding the international and domestic politics of oil production. Be prepared to be challenged by the myth of fossil fuels, by the running out of oil myth, by the global warming hoax and other environmental myths, the folly of oil conservation, the folly of oil playing a part in the illegal immigration problem, and the value of the dollar as it affects and its effects on terrorism, as well as how high the price of oil can rise, terrorism, and threat to oil. So interesting book. Thought I'd mention that to you. That came down the wire, and we always like to encourage people to read. It's a good question to ask. How many of you actually read? Do you read? Do you read daily? Is it hard for you to read? If it is, ask yourself the next question. Is it hard for me to turn on the television and not use my mind? Because Christians who engage their culture, that spend time in front of a television, are not engaging their mind, generally. I mean, I'm not saying you can't ever see television if you're going to be an activist Christian. I'm saying that if you do see television, you need to have your mind engaged, and the reason you're watching the television is in order to gain information that will help you in your battle. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with entertainment at times. You can watch a baseball game or a football game. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are other opportunities you have for entertainment on occasion. But our life should not be only entertainment. Our life should be the work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord includes engaging our culture, preaching the gospel, doing things in the political process, whatever we might find ourselves to do, whatever your hand finds to do, do with your might, as the scripture says. So if you're not reading, you're not gaining the knowledge and tools that are necessary for you to go forward and do battle in this world. You need to be a reader. And if your television time is intruding on you reading, if your television time is intruding on you reading the Bible every day, for instance, or good books, some of the ones we've been mentioning on the show today, then you need to dump the television. You need to have a total paradigm shift. You need to change what's valuable in your life because your values are messed up. I don't know if I can put that any more succinctly than that. I think that's the way I need to say it. All right, here's one other thing. Well, have we got time for this? We're coming close to a break, aren't we? Are we getting close to a break? All right, let's have a quick ad for the tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com website. We have a number of things here which are very important for you to check out, including the events tab. The events tab will take you to a calendar at the bottom of the page telling you what's going on every week in the upstate. For instance, this week, we have the League of the South meeting. That's tonight. The League of the South meeting at the Prime Sirloin at 6:30 p.m. That's on Woodruff Road, just across from the Greenville Mall. I'm going to try to go to that. I hope you will as well. Tomorrow night, we have the Carolina Patriots in Fountain Inn. That's off the Fairview Street exit near, on I think it's 102 Main Street. That starts at 6:30 p.m. for dinner. I think you bring $5 for mandatory for dinner, maybe $6. And then the meeting, the rest of the meeting is free. Hope you can attend the Carolina Patriots tomorrow night. Should be a good good meeting. I believe in Spartanburg there's a gun show this Saturday. If you need some ammo or some other things for your guns, it might be a good place to head up to after that. Also want to remind folks that the Tyranny Response Network is always in need of volunteers. Right now, we need volunteers. And if you can help us, give Chuck a call at 271-6761. That's 271-6761. Or go to the contact tab on the tyrannyresponse.com website. Find someone's email there and email them. Tell them, I'm willing to help. What do we need help with? We need help with for a substitute for the producer for the Christian Worldview show. We need help with people who know how to install antennas and other kinds of radio equipment. We need help for people that know something about computer networking. We need help in promoting the Christian Worldview show that we might receive some funding. It's all volunteers, folks, and we run basically most of the money that comes in is people on the TRN staff themselves that give. We could use some outside support. Even a small check that you could send in would really help and go a long way if we were on a monthly basis just contributing $10, $20, $50 a month to this great cause. So we need help with all these things. Go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and find out how you can help. The contact tab is there to send your details, and we'll get in touch with you and be a part of this great effort for liberty in the area. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for our bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904. 864-244-8177 or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today. This is the final half hour of the 20th day of October, 2005, well into the ninth month of our broadcast here in the upstate of South Carolina. And we are trying to do God's work by engaging our culture, talking about things that are important to Christians, or should be important to Christians, even though they haven't been for the last several decades. Before we do that, though, we need to have a quick look at the weather and find out what's in store.
Right now in Greenville, Spartanburg, 61 degrees. Downtown, 60 degrees. Anderson, 59. Clemson, 61. Today, patchy fogless morning, otherwise mostly sunny. Near record highs in the mid-80s. Southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And here's a quote by Adlai Stevenson. A free society is a place where it's safe to be unpopular.
Okay, safe to be unpopular. Oh, that is a free society. Well, I'll tell you what, Rip and Richie is going to have his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse going on here and there. He's not able to do it every day, I know, folks, but if you happen to be driving around during the day, sometimes his show will come on at 9 in the morning, sometimes it's 4:30 in the afternoon, and maybe even at other times, but stay tuned to TRN. It's worth listening to. Even throughout the day, we have great speakers from different institutions, other radio shows, the American Radio Network, InfoWars sometimes. We've had the great speakers from the Cato Institute and the Constitution Party and their particular broadcast. Also very good stuff to listen to. So stay tuned as you hear those things. As well, we run our regular routine of Liberty Minutes throughout the day. That's the theology of public policy that I've been writing about and doing recently that will eventually, in fact shortly, probably by next March, be incorporated into a new book called The Christian Theology of Public Policy, Highlighting the American Experience. So if you're driving around during the day, be sure to tune in to TRN. Now be ready to be shocked a little bit if you're in Spartanburg or Greenville just during work during the day, and all of a sudden you're not going to get some blather. You're going to get some serious stuff, serious thinking about the Christian understanding of public policy, the biblical view of public policy, the Christian worldview. That's what you're going to get hit with. And it's not just going to be just typical blather about nonsense. It's going to be something serious about the scriptures and about how you should be engaging actively your culture as a Christian. We also have many non-Christians who listen to the show, and we're glad that you do. We're very glad. And we hope that you'll be saved. We are here to promote the gospel, but our primary goal is to engage the culture, and we realize that you are mostly interested in the Christian Worldview show and the Tyranny Response Network not because of the faith aspect, but because of the liberty aspect. And we welcome you to listen, and we hope that you encourage others to listen, because really we are the only station in the upstate that truly promotes freedom and free markets on a consistent basis. So by all means, do continue to spread the word and be involved. All right, here's an article that came out from our research staff that they found on lewrockwell.com, one of our favorite sites. What a Town Without Pity Can Do. What a Town Without Pity Can Do by Will Barney Join the Neocons Jumping Off the Sinking Ship. Leon Hadar is the one who wrote this article. One of the conclusions that former U.S. President Harry Truman reached after spending several decades on the U.S. Capitol, in the U.S. Capitol, first as a lawmaker and then as a vice president who inherited the White House following the death of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, was, if you want to have a friend in Washington, buy a dog. That's cute. Even during Mr. Truman's time in this middle of the 20th century, you understand, folks, you can't find any friends there. There's no friends in Washington if you're in the White House. You've got to just buy a dog if you want a friend. Even during Truman's time, the middle of the 20th century, long before the rise of investigative journalism, the launching of 24/7 cable news programs and the appointment of special prosecutors to look at crimes in high places, Washington was already known for its brutal political arena and mean social environment. Well, that's already happening now with Karl Rove coming out and talking about certain things, and the whole environment seems to be going down the drain for old Mr. Bush, which is good. But here he makes a little encouragement to us. He says, African Americans approve of Mr. Performance, and at a time when even Christian evangelists who are angry at Mr. Bush's nomination of his personal lawyer, Harriet Myers, as Supreme Court judge nominee are deserting him, Barney could turn out to be one of the president's last political fans. Barney! Barney's this big, right? Isn't that the big dumb purple dinosaur? Yeah, so Barney is one of Bush's last political friends, it seems. And And he concludes the article saying, and have all those who are regarded as allies and friends of Mr. Bush decided they don't want to tie their political fortunes to a failed presidency. Sorry if it sounds a bit harsh and cynical, but this is Washington. Where is the dog whistle? Barney, Barney, where are you? Well, cute. Okay, Mr. Bush is down to his last friend, Barney. Actually, we believe George Bush has a lot more friends than that. In fact, he's probably just a puppet. The guy's not that bright to be carrying on what he's doing. Seems to me that someone else is probably pulling the strings for this guy, George Bush. It seems to me that there is something to be said for the groups that we know exist, like the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, Dick Cheney's involvement, and so forth. There may well be something going on here behind the scenes that we don't readily see. It wouldn't surprise me a bit. Here's an article sent in by one of our TRN listeners and producers. Sleuths crack tracking code discovered in color printers. WashingtonPost.com, Mike Musgrove. Can you believe that? It sounds like a conspiracy theory, but it isn't. The pages coming out of your color printer may contain hidden information that can be used to track you down if you ever cross the U.S. government. Last year, an article in PC World Magazine pointed out that printouts from many color laser printers contained yellow dots scattered across the page, viewable only with a special kind of flashlight. The article quoted a senior researcher at Xerox Corporation as saying the dots contain information useful to law enforcement authorities, a secret digital license tag for tracking down criminals. Man, the content of coded information was supposed to be a secret available only to agencies looking for counterfeiters who use new color printers. Now the secret is out. Yesterday, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a San Francisco consumer privacy group, it said that it cracked the code used in a widely used line of Xerox printers, an invisible barcode of sorts that contains the serial number of the printer as well as the date and document, the time the document was printed. With the Xerox printers, the information appears as a pattern of yellow dots, each only a millimeter wide and visible only with a magnifying glass and a blue light. The EFF said it had identified similar coding on pages printed from nearly every major printer manufacturer, including Hewlett-Packard Company, through its team, has so far cracked the codes for only one type of printer. Okay, though it's only done it for one type. The U.S. Secret Service acknowledged yesterday that the markings, which are invisible to the human eye, are there, but it played down the use for invading privacy. It's strictly a countermeasure to protect illegal activity specific to counterfeiting, agency spokesman Eric Zarin said. It's to protect your currency, our currency, and to protect the people's hard-earned money. Oh, please. We don't want to hear about any of that nonsense. This is pure infringement by the United States government trying to undertake surveillance techniques. I mean, this is the U.S. government violating the Bill of Rights. This is the U.S. government going down the road of the Patriot Act once again and trying to make everybody a terrorist and looking under a microscope for everybody, against everybody. We all have something to fear from this kind of stuff, folks. This is a sad case that's going on here. So if you have a color printer, stop using it, unless you want to be printing out all sorts of stuff that the little codes that the United States government can use against you at some point. This is very, very sad stuff. Yeah, can you imagine you're preparing your court documents and you send them off to the federal government, you're suing the federal government for some issue, and they want to know where you're at and what you're doing, and all they have to do is give it to their barcode scanning friends at the Secret Service or whoever, and they'll find out, you know, where you bought your printer, when you what kind of printer it was, and how, you know, what day you printed it on, and all sorts of information that you may not want them to know. That's bad news. What we also need to do is protest a little bit to the companies that are being coerced by the state here. We need to do our best to tell them we don't approve of this kind of thing. Hopefully someone can call in and tell us some more about these printers thing. That's appalling. Here's another quick note from our research staff. Quotations from New England colonial preachers on the boundaries of government. The following are quotations from New England colonial preachers on the boundaries of government and the right of disobedience to any laws beyond these boundaries. Where tyranny begins, government ends. That's from Samuel West in Boston. You know, these would be good things to, for us to read after the weather, don't you think so? As for men's civil rights, as life, liberty, estate, etc., God has not subjected these to the will and pleasure of rulers. They may not enact any laws or to the prejudice of them, nor disannul such laws of state as tend to secure these interests. 'Tis already determined in divine law that an enjoyment of them be free and undisturbed, and rulers may not make any determination repugnant hereto, or if they do, they are of no force. No law of the civil magistrate can bind in opposition to the divine. J. Buckley, 1713, Connecticut. Neither God nor nature has given any man the right of dominion over any society independently of that society's consent to be governed by him. Disobedience is not only lawful but glorious to those that enjoin things that are inconsistent with the demands of God. J. Mayhew, 1750, in Boston. He is a liberal Congregationalist who said that, by the way. And we're going to continue with a few of these in just a minute. These are good stuff, but right now it's time for a break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back with the last segment in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-9904, 864-244-8177, or 864-201-6955. Calls are received 7:30 a.m. to 9 o'clock a.m. weekday mornings. If you are listening at any other time, you are listening to a recording. You may also email your questions or comments to questions@policyofliberty.net.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. I was just checking through during the last break here of a few things that are just popping up on Fox News. Here's one. Woman tosses three kids into San Francisco Bay. Good grief. A woman who was hearing voices tossed her three young children off a pier into San Francisco Bay, authorities said. Rescuers had found one body, and the other two children are feared dead. The mother, LaShawn Harris, 23, of Oakland, was booked on three counts of murder, the San Francisco Chronicle reported on Thursday's edition. Her children were identified as Tracian Harris, 6, Travante Greeley, 3, and Joshua Harris, 1. Child's body was found about 4 hours after a witness reported seeing a woman drop the children into the bay near Pier 7 on Wednesday. Good grief. Well, I mean, in a society that condones abortion, I guess, why wouldn't they? You know, she can just say, well, I could have killed them earlier. Why can't I kill them now? This is disgusting, though. Terrible. I hope that, well, she's probably insane, but I don't see any insanity being a plea for taking away her life after doing that, if she's truly done it. Sounds like she has. All right, we have five more American soldiers killed in Iraq. Blah, 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 ho-hum. Almost like who cares anymore. Just it's already a couple thousand. What's the difference between 2,000 or 3,000? Just let them get killed over the insane war over there. Mission critical system still vulnerable to attacks. We have that come up. And Senate moves to bar funds from property seizure projects. And that we already heard about earlier, too. So things are moving along with the headlines here. Here is the Texas court issuing a warrant for delay. Austin, Texas, a state court issued an arrest warrant on Wednesday for Representative Tom DeLay, requiring him to appear in Texas for booking on the state conspiracy and money laundering charges. The court said an initial $10,000 bail is a routine step before Texas Republican's first court appearance on Friday. DeLay could be fingerprinted and photographed, although his lawyers had hoped to avoid this step. DeLay probably will surrender his home to county. Will surrender in his home in county of Fort Bend near Houston, but could go to any law enforcement office in Texas. His court appearance will be in Austin. The warrant, known as a capias, as a matter of routine and bond, will be posted, said DeLay's lawyer, Dick Guerin. Okay, so we have another congressman in trouble. Good thing. Wish they all were in trouble, and they'd all leave us alone, as far as that goes as well. All right, a couple other things. So here's something from the research staff we've been talking about. Again, these quotations from these preachers. Good stuff. Here, these are colonial preachers talking about the time when it's okay to resist the state rebel against it, so to speak, from their perspective. He says, "As oppression makes a wise man mad, so it makes a righteous God angry." John Hancock, 1722 in Massachusetts. "There are too many arbitrary governments in the world. These are not properly speaking governments, but tyrannies, and are absolutely against the law of God and nature," Elisha Williams said in 1744, a student of George Whitefield. See how these guys coming right out of the Great Awakening here and coming up with these views? It's great stuff. From the tract, A Seasonable Plea, is where that was written. "But depend on it, no government is God's ordinance, but that which is for the good of mankind." Samuel Webster, 1777 in Massachusetts. "The great subordinate end is the public good. The means of laws and laws of government must be calculated to work and bring about that end and effect. And a good ruler knows these maxims and are not found in nature, but expressly asserted in God's word." A. Mather, 1725 in Connecticut. Well, a couple of those are theonomic, maybe even divine rightish. I don't concur with them, but it is interesting to see that the founding fathers did not think that the state, when it was evil, should be allowed to exist. They called it a tyranny, and they called it something they could overthrow, and it would be serving God to do so. That's very interesting stuff, I'll have to say. Well, a final article we have for the morning here that someone had sent in was the research staff had found something on Eustace Mullins. You know Eustace Mullins, who wrote The Secrets of the Federal Reserve? Good stuff. Eustace Mullins on The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. But here's just something about his lament for the Old South. I thought I'd spend some time reading that this morning. "Gone with the Wind." Margaret Mitchell voiced over her lament for the vanquished civilization of the Old South. Little did she realize that the South would rise again, recreated by the iniquitous John B. Rockefeller and his Council of State Governments, as I dutifully recorded in Appendix 1 of my book, The World Order. After gaining control of the national government, the Rockefeller Foundation moved to gain control of the state legislatures. The move began in Colorado, where the Rockefellers had perpetrated the infamous Ludlow Massacre of workers at the Colorado Fuel and Iron Plant. State Senator Henry Walcott Toll, a Denver lawyer and graduate of Harvard Law School, spearheaded the organization of the American Legislators Association in 1925. Time magazine noted, "Today on the capital of the U.S. is still the capital of the U.S. is still in Washington, but so far as the states individually to have only, but so far as the states individually to have any point of contact, it is Mr. Toll's office building in Chicago. Presently, Rockefeller money is to erect a $500,000 building on Chicago's Midway to house the secretariats." Of course, this is 1925, so that's a lot of money back then. "A sort of League of Nations palace In fact, how much would that be in gold? Would that be about 250,000 or 25,000 ounces of gold, I believe. That'd be quite a bit. Well, maybe more than that. At any rate, let me get back to my place here. House many of the secretariats, a sort of League of Nations palace for the local governments of the 48 states. This became the Council of State Governments in 1313 60th Street, Chicago, from which the Rockefeller Foundation controlled the state legislatures and ramrodded their programs through mostly unsuspecting state bodies. Time magazine also noted that the Toll's plans were approved by a principal character in this story, Frederick A. Delano. His sentiments were echoed by an approval by Franklin D. Roosevelt's uncle, who was chairman of the President's Committee on Natural Resources, who was there to lend to his advice. Thus we have the founder of the Brookings Institute guiding the foundation control at the state legislatures. The Council of State Governments has now moved to Lexington, Kentucky, where it comprises the Conference of State Court Administrators, State Purchasing Officers, Lieutenant Governors, and legislators. The governors of the states comprise the membership and the Council of State Governments. Under the able leadership of the Rockefeller Council of State Governments, the Old South has been recreated as the plantation, no longer to be contented blacks pick cotton. Every slave now works full-time to pay for the daily increasing tax burdens of the old plantation, and state legislators cry out each day for more increases in taxation. State legislatures argue vehemently for more taxation of the slave workers. We can remember when it was suicide for a politician to demand increases in taxation. That day is long past. Today, politicians demand higher taxation, supported by, guess who? The businessmen. More taxes mean more money for all government operations and more money for the politicians to spend. In old Virginia, the birthplace of the presidents, there is a modest state pension fund of $35 billion, and the boost of the billion-dollar surplus, while the scream for more taxes is heard from politicians. Simon Legree, you are wanted at the office. The Rockefeller bureaucrats brook no opposition. State citizens are besieged by daily demand for more expensive fees, permits, licenses, fines, penalties. Greed no longer directs the politicians to Washington. The big money is now in the states and localities. The way for the Rockefeller Council of State Governments was paved by the Civil War Federal Army occupation of the South, lasting until 1877, when a hard-fought election resulted in their withdrawal. They left in place puppet political parties, the scallywags, now known as Democrats, and Republicans, better known as carpetbaggers. Not only did self-government never return to the southern states, but it was rapidly extinguished in all of the states. The South could no longer complain that it was ruled by discriminatory railroad rates or the many other forms of economic discrimination which was endemic throughout the nation. The Civil War was over, and not only the southern states, but also the others as well, were now in the mouth of the crocodile. The captive population was doomed to perpetual slavery on the old plantation. Taxes would increase every year, driven by the ravenous greed of well-entrenched politicians. Incumbents only need apply. Martha, please write us a new and more updated lament. You would recognize the old plantation. Nothing has changed. So we appreciate Eustace Mullins coming up and telling us about his lament for the Old South. Good stuff, and good way to start to conclude the Christian Worldview show today. What we have on tap is next week sometime we're going to try to get a hold of some of the people to be on our show. Tomorrow morning we're going to have, of course, Greg Ferrier here, as our regular producer is gone, and yours truly will be trying to fly the ship solo with Greg in the studio, talking about some excellent programming. Excellent theological discussion and other stuff. So make sure you stay tuned for Greg Ferrier's guest hosting the show tomorrow. But in addition to that, we also want to encourage people to continue to support the Christian Worldview show, continue to tell people about it, and let's make this a great success here in the Upstate. And we'll have some other guest hosts on next week, hopefully Marshall Fritz from the Separation of School and State Alliance. We'll also possibly have Dr. Dave Black from Raleigh, North Carolina. I've been trying to work on having him on the show, as well as some others who have been interested. So stay tuned for that. We'll look forward to having great editions of Christian Worldview in the future. And we thank you very much for joining us today. And we hope that, again, you'll spread the word and help support the TRN in any way you can, financially or through volunteer efforts. Remember that contact tab on the TRN website, journeyresponse.com, is there for your use. Use it and let us know if you can help. We'll be glad to have your support. Anyway, until tomorrow, we'll be signing off from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we wish you God's blessings.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.